Let's turn to God's Word now as we're going to be reading from the book of Acts, Acts 16. I'm beginning to read at verse 16. Acts 16, verse 16. Paul's missionary journey, and they're in Philippi. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl showed Paul and the rest of us, followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned round and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. The magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake, the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open. Everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword, was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Anyone who's around Christians for any length of time will sooner or later hear them talk about being saved. Or they should hear them talk about being saved. Maybe in our circles we steer away from talking much about being saved, and that's not a good thing. And yet it might not be all that clear to folk what it is that Christians are talking about when they talk about being saved. Saved from what? What exactly do they mean? Once it wasn't all that uncommon in this part of the world to be asked, "Are you saved?" Perhaps out in the street somebody might well buttonhole you and just ask you straight, "Are you saved?" I wonder if you've ever been asked that question. And of course, it's the kind of question you're suddenly asked, you tend to step back and think, "What's going on here?" It's maybe not so common nowadays, and maybe that tells us something about where Northern Ireland's been going in the last number of years, that there aren't maybe so many people who are bothered about whether you're saved or not. And then as a Christian, somebody says to you, "Well, are you saved?" How would you answer that? How would you explain it to somebody? Maybe you would struggle to explain simply and clearly to somebody what it does mean to be saved. And we might end up confusing people more than we would be helping them. Now, we need to be very clear about what it is to be saved. It's a good Bible word. We shouldn't be scared of it. It's an important word. It gets us to the very heart of what we are about as Christians, the most important things in life. And so we need to be able to answer clearly. What does it mean to be saved? And maybe today as you sit here, you don't know what it is to be saved. You're mystified by this language. But even if you are a Christian, you might find it difficult to explain what is it to be saved. And so we want to spend a little time today thinking about that. What does it mean to be saved? Very basic question that you might be asked, that you might have to answer if you're a Christian. What does it mean to be saved? Well, it means, first of all, admitting that you're a sinner. Admitting that you are a sinner. Now, most people like to think that they're not too bad. They're not perhaps as good as they might like to be. They wouldn't claim they were perfect. But they're not too bad. And at least they're not pretending to be perfect. They're not hypocrites. And I guess in our society, perhaps the biggest sin is to be a hypocrite. You can do all sorts of other things. People aren't much bothered. But if they think you're a hypocrite, then they're really troubled by that. Well, if I'm not a hypocrite, then I'm not too bad. And that's the mindset of a lot of people around us. They haven't done too much to be ashamed of. And they look around, of course, and they see the thieves, they see the violent people, the abusers, and all sorts like that. And they think, well, I'm not like that, so I'm not too bad. And they're convinced that if there's a God, they might not be too sure if there's a God, but if there is one, well, he can't be too displeased with them. And surely they've never done anything bad enough to be kept out of heaven if there is a heaven. And there are multitudes all around us who think like that. That's their mindset. And then you open the Bible and you find something very different there. You read a verse like Romans 3:23, and very bluntly it tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible doesn't have that kind of optimistic view of people. It tells us something very different. Well, we think, well, all have sinned, okay, maybe I haven't done anything too bad. And then you read a verse like Ephesians 2 and verse 1 that says of everybody, we're dead in transgressions and sins. We're not sick. We're not just not as well as we might be. The Bible says we're dead in sins. There couldn't be any more stark a message than that. We're not fairly okay with a few imperfections. The Bible says we're dead in sin. That's the spiritual reality of everybody. To kid yourself that you're not as bad maybe as others, and God shouldn't be too displeased with you. It's just a fantasy. That's all it is. But the Bible says we're dead in sins. Well, there's no spiritual life in us. You see, the problem is we tend to measure ourselves by other people. And so the standard isn't very high. I'm better than him. I'm maybe just a bit like that one. But the Bible measures us by the standard of a holy God, a perfectly holy God. And when you do that, if you measure yourself against God, then you realize, yes, you are a sinner. You're dead in sins. And the Bible tells us in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. It's eternal separation from God. That's the reality. And those who think they're not too bad and God will be happy enough with them when they die and they'll get into heaven anyway are simply fooling themselves. They're living in a fantasy world. And one day they're going to get a terrible awakening when it's too late to change. That's the truth of the matter we need to face up to. And the first step in being saved, the first step to salvation is admitting that you are a sinner. For a lot of people, that's the hardest step because they don't want to admit they are. They want a nice view of themselves, a pretty picture of who they really are, and they don't want to admit they're sinners. They want to pretend because it's more comfortable to admit that you're a sinner against God, that you deserve God's anger forever. Is a hard thing to admit. But if you never get to that point, you'll never be saved. Why do you want to be saved if you don't think you've anything to be saved from? If you don't think you're a sinner, why do you need a savior? So what does it mean to be saved? The first thing it means is admitting that you're a sinner. A sinner against God. Never mind whether you're better than other people or worse than other people. That really doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what does God think of you? And God says all of us are sinners, dead in sins. That's where we've got to start, admitting that you're a sinner. So what does it mean to be saved? Well, the first thing is it means admitting you're a sinner. But then the next thing involved in being saved is realizing that Jesus is the only Savior. Realizing Jesus is the only Savior. You see, if we simply stopped with the first point, admitting you're a sinner, that just leaves you in despair. You're in a hole you can't climb out of. If you're a sinner and that's it, you're lost. There's no hope. That's just a recipe for despair and depression. It's hopeless. Unless there's an answer to our terrible spiritual plight. Unless there's an answer to being a sinner, then it's hopeless. But the Bible tells us there is an answer. The gospel is good news. And it's good news because it tells us what God's answer is to our sin. And God's answer isn't a philosophy, it isn't a set of beliefs, it's a person. It's his own Son. The Lord Jesus, who came into this world, shared our human nature, lived a life of perfect obedience, the kind of life you and I haven't lived and can't live, but Jesus lived it, perfectly keeping all of God's commandments. And then the Bible tells us, the end of that perfect life, when he was only in his 30s, he died on a cross, a Roman cross, executed by the Roman authorities. But that wasn't just a tragic accident. We don't think, oh, that was sad. Wouldn't it have been so much better if he'd lived? No. Because his dying on the cross was the whole point of his coming into this world. His dying on the cross was to take the sins of every sinner who'll ever trust in him as Savior. And he's taken their punishment, he's taken their guilt, all their sins been loaded on him there on the cross, and Jesus died for sinners. He has done what you couldn't do. That's why the gospel's good news. You know, people think the gospel's all about telling you to do something. But the gospel's first of all telling you what God has done to save sinners like us. And that's why it's good news. It's about Jesus. It's about a person. It's about the Son of God who has lived and died and who's no longer dead. He's not in a tomb somewhere in Israel. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus is part of the gospel. It's part of our Christian faith. A dead Jesus isn't any use to any of us. Well, he might be an interesting figure in history. Nice to look back on the things he said. He's no use to us. He can't save us if he's still dead. But he's alive. He's risen. He's seated in heaven, reigning over the whole universe. That's where Jesus is today. He's alive. He lived. He died. He rose again. And he did it in order to save people like us. People who are sinners. People who can't change themselves and make themselves good people. Paul takes us right to the heart of that gospel message in 2 Corinthians 5. And he tells us what was happening when Jesus died on the cross. He tells us there, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. That's what the cross was about. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't that amazing? People like us, sinners, people dead in sins, can become the very righteousness of God. How? Through Jesus dying on the cross, taking the place of sinners like us, taking our sin, taking our punishment, treated as a sinner even though he was perfect. And that's how we can be saved. That's what God and his love and his grace has done to provide salvation for us. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do any of it. Jesus didn't have to come into the world at all. But that's how much he loves sinners like us, to live and to die and to rise again for us. That's what the gospel's about. It's not a message of being nice to people and trying to do your best. That's nonsense. You can't. It's about a Savior who came to save us by dying and rising again. And when you understand what's needed to save sinners like us, you realize there is only one possible Savior. Jesus tells us in John 14, nobody comes to the Father except through him. And that's not popular today. People want to hear. There are lots of ways to God. And as long as you're sincere, that'll do. Doesn't matter what you believe. Just be sincere. And they think that will be enough. And you really understand that you're dead in sins, and that Jesus died for sinners, it's obvious there isn't any other Savior. It's as clear as day, nothing else will do the job. Nobody else will do the job. And nobody comes to God except through Jesus. Every other pathway that people will offer you is a deception. It'll not take you to God, it'll take you further away from God. There is only one way. There's only one Savior. So what does it mean to be saved? It means admitting you're a sinner. It means realizing that Jesus is the only Savior. It means, thirdly, trusting in Jesus for salvation. Trusting in Jesus for salvation. See, it's not enough for salvation just to know the facts about what Jesus was and who he was. It's not even enough to realize Jesus could save you. Because there are people who do that, but they never actually act on it. They know in theory Jesus could deal with my situation. Jesus could deal with my sin, but they never do anything. And they're not saved. There are people who know all the facts of the gospel. There are people who theoretically think Jesus, yeah, he could save me, but they never actually do anything about it. Just let it pass by. Maybe think, I must do something about that sometime. And then something else fills their thoughts and they never act on it. When the Philippian jailer we read about in Acts 16 rushed in, a desperate man that night in Philippi in the prison, and he said to Paul there, what must I do to be saved? Paul gives the answer, not just for him, but for all of us. Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You've got to do something about it. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Paul takes us right to the heart of what we have got to do in response to the gospel message. We must be trusting in Jesus for salvation. You see, to believe in the Bible sense of the word involves trust, actually committing to Christ. See, sometimes people think, believe in Jesus, okay, I know what the Bible says about him, and I think it's true, so I must be a believer. I must be a Christian. But the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus. Commit yourself, your life to him. If you don't, you're not saved. It's all just theory. Believing in the Bible is commitment and trust. Rely exclusively on the Lord Jesus to save you. It'll involve real sorrow for sin. That's what the Bible means by repentance. Sorrow that you've offended God and broken God's law. Not just sorry you've hurt other people. Not just sorry you've messed up your own life. But sorry that you've broken God's law and you've offended him. That's real repentance. That's part of believing in the Lord Jesus. If you're not sorry for sin, you'd have to doubt whether you're really believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give up any notion of making yourself good enough for God. Give up any idea somehow you'll do good works and you'll satisfy God. You're deceiving yourself. And commit wholeheartedly to Jesus. Ask him to forgive your sin. Ask him to make you right with God. That lifts such a burden from our shoulders. We don't have to make ourselves good enough for God. We don't have to do the impossible. God in Christ has done it. He's done what you need. Now you've got to trust yourself to this Savior. There's no other way. What does it mean to be saved? Well, it means admitting you're a sinner. It means realizing Jesus is the only Savior. It means trusting in Jesus for salvation. Commit to him. That's necessary. That's vital for salvation. If you're not committed, if you're not relying on Christ, you're not saved. However many facts from the Bible you may know and believe, it needs commitment of your life to Jesus. One more thing that's necessary as we think of what does it mean to be saved. The last thing is following Jesus as a disciple. Following Jesus as a disciple. You see, you might think, okay, we've talked about trusting in Jesus, and that's it. If we've done that, that's the end of the story. That's not how the Bible talks about it. When the Bible talks about being saved, it talks not just about commitment to Christ, but what goes on beyond that. You see, we talk about the Christian life. That's exactly what it is. It is a life, not just a moment. You know, sometimes, particularly in Northern Ireland, people focus on a moment when you're saved. And that is vital. There's a point where you pass from death to life. No doubt about that. But so often they forget what happens after that. What about the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of your life? What about it? And it's to be a life of discipleship. That point where you cross from spiritual death to spiritual life is just the beginning of a transformed life. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Do you know that in your own life? Do you know that the old has gone and it'll go bit by bit as God works in your life and the new has come? You're a new creation with a whole life to live with the Lord Jesus as Lord. He must be Savior, but he must also be Lord. He doesn't demand anything less than that from you if you're really saved. Lord of your life. That's the basic principle of Christian faith. Paul mentioned it in 1 Corinthians 12. Jesus is Lord. That's what it is really to be a Christian. To have Jesus as Lord of your life. Day in, day out. In your work, in your family, in your social relationships, in your sport, in your hobbies, in anything you do. Jesus is Lord. If you're saved, Christ is to be the center of your life. Your goal is to please him in everything you do. You're to be a disciple. A disciple is a follower of the Lord Jesus, a learner, learning from Scripture, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, putting it into practice day by day by day until God takes you to heaven and finishes the work. Because he's changing all of his people. He's changing us more and more into the likeness of Jesus. That what we say, what we think, what we do honors the Lord Jesus and reflects him more faithfully. And the Lord's going to keep doing that in your life until he takes you to glory. But It's a life to be lived for the Lord with Christ at the center. He's remodeling us. You know, we're remodeling this building. But if you're a Christian, God's remodeling your life to make it more like Jesus until the last day when you'll be perfectly like him and there'll not be any sin left in your life. It's a wonderful prospect if you're saved. Not just one moment, but a whole life lived with God's help for God's glory. What does it mean to be saved? Well, there are four things that it means. It means realizing you're a sinner, admitting you're a sinner. And that can be hard. But God's grace can make you able to admit that thing that maybe you struggle to admit. But that's where you've got to start, admitting you're a sinner. Realizing Jesus as the only Savior. There's no other way. There's no other route to God and to glory but through Jesus. It means trusting in Jesus for salvation, not just knowing the facts of the gospel, trusting yourself to him, your whole life to him. And it means following Jesus as a disciple, that day in and day out, with the help of God, you're living for Christ. You're living according to his word in the Bible, and you're heading for final glory and perfection. We need to be able to answer that question, what does it mean to be saved? But maybe as you're sitting here, you realize you're not saved, actually. You're not a Christian. Even maybe if some other people think you are. And you know you've never committed your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to do it. You need to do it today. Because God might not give you tomorrow. There have been people who sat in church on the Lord's Day, and before Monday was finished, they were in eternity. You might not have tomorrow, friend. God might not give you another day. Don't put it off. You need to be saved. Jesus is the only Savior. Trust in him.